Well, let me welcome my guest to the program out of Washington, D.C., former U.S. Diplomat Michael Springman, and out of Phoenix, Arizona, editor of Veterans Today, Mike Harris. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in Phoenix. And Mike, what's your overall take on this caravan and what is going on?
We're a border state, and this is terrifying. We have had to endure the onslaught of illegal immigration since Ronald Reagan passed the first amnesty in 1983, which was a mistake then. And to have people coming from Central America to really invade our country who have, they don't have the ability to contribute anything to our society. They're net users. They don't give back. And the criminality that goes with it. This is a horrible situation in my state. And I support Trump 100% that they need to be stopped on the other side of the border and not allowed to set foot into any U.S. soil. And actually, this may be a blessing because this might help influence the midterm elections and get elected Republicans who will go ahead and fund the border wall so that we can stop or at least begin to get a handle upon this illegal immigration problem that's been going on since 1983.
Okay, Michael, your take on all of this. I mean, many of the people who have been interviewed say that because of the precarious situation in their country or countries, they're in seeking a better way of life, some of them in fear of their life. That your take on how this is being handled by American officials so far?
Well, it's being handled very badly. It betrays a woeful ignorance of American foreign policy towards Latin America and the Caribbean for the past century. For the first half of the 20th century, it was a record of disaster. And for the second half of the 20th century, it was a record of unmitigated disaster, beginning with the overthrow of the elected government of Guatemala in 1954, the second CIA coup. This was followed by death squads in Guatemala. It was followed by efforts to overthrow the government of Cuba from 1959 to the present. It talks about American policy talks about the overthrow of the government of Brazil, the overthrow of the government of the Dominican Republic, of Haiti, of Bolivia and Chile, support for a rebel army against the people of Nicaragua, the Contras. So it's you point your finger at a map of Latin America, and you see a country that the United States has intervened in and overthrown its legitimate, freely elected government and replaced it with a bunch of repressive dictatorships, which the Americans seem to love. And these people have worked against their own people, contributing toward this drive to the north. And somehow they seem to forget that this is an exact duplicate of what happened to Europe over the past few years, with American wars in the Middle East and South Asia driving crowds of people out of their countries into Europe, using social media, using WhatsApp, using Facebook, using electronic communications, Wi-Fi systems set up by Cisco, help from George Soros. And this is going on in Latin America now, mm-hmm. and nobody's questioning what's going on. You have 7,000 people on the march. Who's feeding them? Who's giving them water? An adult uses 3 liters of water a day. That's 21,000 liters of water, and that doesn't include the water needed for sanitation. Peter Van Buren, the former American diplomat, and others are saying nobody's investigating this. Nobody's looking at what's really going on. Instead, they're wringing their hands, and Donald Trump is tweeting and making wild statements about nothing in particular. Okay. If he was really interested in immigration, the Democratic Party controls the White House, it controls the United States Senate, and it controls the U.S. House of Representatives. They could have passed a reformed immigration act
Republican Party,
that would have stopped a lot of this nonsense and dealt with these people on a reality basis, and they're not doing it.
Okay. All right. Well, Mike, your take. There are different takes on this scenario, even some actually saying that it isn't natural that this caravan that started off with 160 people have now swollen to 7,000. Some are saying that it's actually a move by the left to affect the November midterm elections. Now, of course, you said that it could be something very good to affect it in a positive way in your perspective, meaning a Republican. Others may think that if the U.S. military actually stops these individuals in a way that could be called inhumane, that it could actually have the opposite effect of what you're saying on the November midterm elections. Your take?
Well, you're exactly correct. This is going to require some very, very delicate handling. Because if the U.S. military gets involved and if there are civilian deaths as a result of this, the optics on this are going to favor the Democrat agenda. However, if these people are not stopped and Trump uses the military in a humane and gentle manner, let's say they're detained south of the border in Mexico, not allowed ingress into the United States, perhaps transported to someplace like Gitmo, Guantanamo, where they could be held and detained, tended to, given humanitarian effort, medical care, et cetera, and then return to their countries of origin, that might be the better thing. But what this does is it draws into public attention the need for immigration reform. Number one, we have to change our system, and number two, we need to make sure that this doesn't happen again. We need a wall. We need a physical barrier down there that would stop the drug trafficking. It would stop the human trafficking, and only allow ingress and egress through the known ports of entry. And that way, it can be controlled, managed, and people don't get through overnight, jumping over the fence, which is what they've been doing for the last number of years. And let me make a correction. Mm-hmm. The mainstream media always says there's 11 million illegal aliens in this country. They've been using that number for 25 years. The real number is somewhere between 35 and 55 million illegals in this country, and it's time that the mainstream media started telling the truth. But they don't want to galvanize the American public against their agenda to have open borders.
Okay, what about that, Michael? You've heard what Mike has said there in Phoenix. Your take on it, that if really there are that many illegal individuals inside of the United States, the overall effect and your perspective on what Donald Trump is saying. He's saying that people just crossing the border like this is dangerous, and that there are legal means for them to actually apply. Your take on that?
Well, my take is that there are undoubtedly far more than the 11 million admitted illegals in the country. They're being used and they're being welcomed as easily exploited cheap labor. They love this, the businessmen do. The people who are working on their house next to mine, essentially rebuilding it, have an entire crew of people who barely speak English. This, from the accents, they're from south of the Rio Grande. So I think that they're welcomed by the businessmen because they are cheap, that they don't have union scale, and they can be sent home and they don't have to be paid any kind of medical benefits. If they get uppity, they're out the door and they're back to Guatemala or wherever they came from. Mm-hmm. I think in the future this is going to become worse. I think and additionally that the government has been ignoring this. According to the Washington Post in the last couple of days, these caravans have been marching for the last 10 years, and suddenly now, before the midterm elections, they've become an issue. Donald Trump was severely outmaneuvered with his talk about separating children from parents when the first wave of migrants hit in the last year. I think that he's going to look even worse if he tries to stop these caravans now. I don't see him shooting them. I don't see him stopping at the border. I think that Donald Trump has let himself be backed into a corner with his inability to take action, with his inability to understand politics, with his inability to understand history and American foreign policy.
Okay. What about that, Mike? I mean, because obviously the United States has also profited. You talked about the negative side of having these illegals there. But what about what Michael has just said? There are many that have benefited very much from actually exploiting these illegals. You could have gone to just about any restaurant or farm, especially in the south or the west of the country, and found illegals, and I'm sure still today you can. So there are definitely people, and a lot of them, that have benefited from this. Do you think, though, in general, there is an underlying racism to the way that this is being dealt with by the U.S. government?
No, I do not think racism has anything to do with it. In fact, having the illegal immigrants here, it has really damaged the earning power of entry-level jobs. If my first job ever, I was 14 years old, I was a dishwasher. I made $1.60 an hour. I couldn't get, if I was 14 years old today or 15 or a teenager, I couldn't get that job because some 35-year-old Mexican guy or other illegals already got it. Now, what it's done, it's hurt our most vulnerable citizens the hardest. Black America has suffered the most by this because in LA County, janitorial jobs used to be primarily filled by black Americans making a decent wage, much more than minimum wage. And now they're filled by Hispanics of wherever origin. The other benefit to employers, and employers are the ones who benefit the most, the ones who hire the illegals, they're making out like bandits on this. Here in Phoenix, Arizona, there is a car wash chain. They had like 11 locations around town, and they got busted for hiring illegal aliens. And it turned out they had over 22 illegal aliens using the same Social Security number, okay? So what the scam here is, what they do, we always talk about how the illegals pay taxes. Well, the employers, when they have multiple people using the same Social Security card, the employer is supposed to match the contribution that the employee makes. He doesn't match it. In fact, he deducts it from their paycheck, but he pockets the money. He double dips. This is a tremendous boon to the employers. Whereas they're not paying any FICA, they're not paying any federal tax, even though they're being deducted from the illegal alien's wage, his check. But they're not being paid into the system. And these employers do this knowingly. How can you sit there and have a payroll and you've got 22 people declaring the same Social Security number? You know something's wrong. And so the beneficiaries of this are the businesses who hire them. And the people who suffer are the American working class because it depresses wages. And you know, the wages that I was making as a dishwasher at $1.60 an hour today would be worth about $22 an hour. What this has done is really undermined the earning power of the entry level and lower middle class people in this country. The illegal aliens hurt them the worst. Then there's the other issue that the other guest brought up about having to provide medical care. Well, what about schooling? Because they have children, those kids have to go to school. All of those expenses are burden shifted off of the employer onto the taxpayers. And this is unconscionable that this goes on. But it makes it extremely, extremely profitable for the business owners who do these things.
Okay, let me switch back to Michael. Stay with me.
And the internal enforcement is the missing portion here.
All right. Michael, your take, there are many that say that actually these people trying to go north, trying to cross the border in search for either safety, better life, better salary, actually one of the main problems has been U.S. foreign policy in Central America, that the U.S. is actually quite responsible for having these people unsettled in their own countries. If we're looking at whether we're looking at the drug situation, if they're trying to make their way north and cause so much instability and violence in the region, to various economic policies that the U.S. has in Central America and even South America for that matter. Your take on that side of things, Michael?
Well, that's exactly right. Instead of offering these countries increased foreign aid and creating a kind of a Marshall Plan to rebuild their economies that have been destroyed by American policy or by the people the American policy installed into office, Donald Trump turns around and says, oh no, we're going to cut off foreign aid to any country that allows the migrant wave to go through. Well, in dealing with these poor countries in Central America and Mexico, they don't want thousands and thousands of these people there because their economies are barely functioning as it is, and they simply don't want the wave of migrants to settle there because they can't take care of them. They're happy to pass them on. In many ways, the situation is going to become in the United States like what it became in Europe. You have two groups, one that welcomes the illegals with candy and flowers, and the other group who say, well, we get to determine who comes into our country and who doesn't. And then you've got the aliens who are dealing with both of them and who are disliked by one group or the other, and whom they dislike one group or the other. So you have this tremendous tension in society that's going to be increased, and it's going to be blatantly racist more and more.
Well, Mike, what do you think is key here? What has to be done? We've talked about some of the instability in these countries, and of course, there are laws in dealing with those who are fleeing or fearing for their lives to at least enter the United States, and on an individual case basis that they're looked at and see if they should be granted asylum or not. So when you say that the law should be changed, you mean that they should not have the opportunity to actually run away from, let's say, life-threatening situations? Or exactly what are you saying what the United States should do with these individuals?
Well, the United States should put together an immigration policy that's based on merit. We don't need the poorest of the poor. We don't need the uneducated who can't read and write in their own language. We don't need them. We don't have a place for them. We have enough poor people of our own who we have to provide for. What we need to do is we need to get the best and brightest. We need doctors, lawyers, engineers, scientists. Those are the types that we wish to attract. We need to change our immigration policy, as Trump has suggested, onto a merit-based system where we get people who are going to provide value to the people who live here. You cannot maintain a first world civilization with a third world population. It just is impossible. Now, there's a number of things that can be done in here. One of them is this E-Verify, where if the employers have to use this to hire anybody who works for them, they have to verify their eligibility to work in the country. Because by hiring illegals, they're empowering it. If we would take away the job magnet, take away the welfare magnet that comes here, not allow them to get welfare benefits of any sort, then there's not so much incentive to come here. Now, can we fix the problems in Central and South America? The U.S. has had a misguided foreign policy going back to United Fruit Company at the beginning of the last century, in the early 1900s. The U.S. has been ham-fisted and really stupid about how they conduct foreign policy. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And one of the things that Trump could do would be overhaul the Department of State and get some fresh-thinking people in there,
okay,
instead of the same old tired neocons.
Stay with me, Mike. So sorry, I'm very limited
rule.
In time. I want to get Michael's opinion
on
this. Michael, your take. Just a minute, though. We have very limited time. What is it going to take to change this situation, solve this situation, in your perspective? What needs to be done?
Well, two things. First, you need to change the attitude of people in the United States towards illegal aliens. You've got to do what Canada and Australia already do, and have, as Mr. Harris said, a merit-based system where money and education count. You know, we don't have an economy based on coal mining and ore smelting anymore. We have a post-technological society where you need experts in computers, you need experts in electronics and things like this. And unfortunately, what's coming across the border is people that can cut the grass and drive nails, and that's about it. So we need to overhaul the Immigration and Nationality Act, but like every time they overhaul the Internal Revenue Code, special interest groups stick their fingers in and twist it to their advantage.
So okay,
we don't
so
have
sorry
good
on that
for
note,
America.
We're going to have to
we
end.
Have something good for special
well,
interests.
Michael, hopefully we can talk about this in another program. Appreciate you being with us. Michael Springman, former U.S. diplomat out of Washington, D.C., and Mike Harris, editor of Veterans Today out of Phoenix, Arizona. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. See you next time.